Welcome to episode 5 of AMK on the Runway. This week it's just A on the Runway. Hopefully Curtis isn't, escaped to New Orleans to join a brass band, but hopefully he's having fun. This week was a little interesting. We started out at the Lyndhurst Mansion, which I had no idea what this was since I'm not from New York and I'm not an architecture buff. So I had to look it up, and it is also known as the Jay Gould Estate, in case anyone was wondering, and it's a Gothic Revival country house that sits on its own park besides the Hudson River. I had no idea about this, and it was really cool. I mean, it's a very cool place. I imagine that rich people have weddings there. That was my first thought. And then there's two women there. I had no idea who they are. They're introduced as actresses from Disney's Descendants 2. I am clearly out of touch with anything that's happening because I had never heard of this before. And apparently it is a movie where the storyline is the offspring of classic Disney villains. So, had no idea. Sounds like an interesting concept. The actresses are Dove Cameron and Chyna Ann McClain. Again, had no idea these ladies existed. So, the challenge is the designers need to create an evening wear look inspired by Good and Evil. And then Michael, as the winner of last week, gets to assign Good and Evil to his fellow designers. The designers have $300 and 2 days to put this look together. And before we move on, I just want to touch on Michael's winning look from last week. I did look up on the Heidi Klum Intimates website how much this thing cost. And it's $200 to buy that nightgown. And I am kind of floored at that. I don't own many $200 dresses that I wear out in public to spend that much on nightwear. So this is definitely not in my price range, but nothing on this website is in my price range personally. Like one single thong is $50. So then to get a bra or other like sleepwear or lingerie is like in the hundreds of dollars. So this is definitely a line that's targeted to like the Real Housewives set, I would say. So, and then I saw this in some comments on the Entertainment Weekly write-up on the show. When designers go on the show, they sign away all creative license to anything they create on the show. So I don't think that Michael will see any sort of commission or income off that design. And that's, probably something that they hopefully reviewed the contract and they know the terms of what they're signing up for, but it's kind of a bummer. They didn't put his name on it. They did have a photo of him with Heidi and the model, but there wasn't any sort of recognition from him. So just something to keep in mind when we're seeing this. Although I will say this, and I don't know if maybe there is a time when that creative licensing ends, because Laurence from last season sells reproductions of some looks that she made, like that Bentley dress that is just so beautiful. She sells that on her website. So maybe there's some sort of sunset provision, after a year or two, you can do that. Because to hold the creative licensing for those looks forever is a little extreme. I'm sure the Project Runway or Lifetime has very good lawyers that are drafting all these contracts. So anyways, back to the challenge. Michael has assigned the following designers to be in the good category. So it's Brandon, Amy, Kintaro, Aaron, Ayana, and Claire. And so the designers that are inspired by evil are Kenya, Michael, Samantha, Sean, Margarita, and Batani. People are ecstatic that the twins are separated because in the workroom, they have separated everyone out on sides. So evil's on one side and good is on the other. And people are like, oh, good, maybe they won't work together, which that didn't stop them from running around and calling out to each other and essentially doing each other's looks still. So not quite what everyone was hoping for. Everyone gets to sit in the castle or on the grounds to sketch for a while. Brandon says he's going to do a streetwear inspired look, so he's kind of sticking in his lane. Margarita's model is a 36DD, so she's concerned about just getting the fit right. At first, I was reading her as saying she didn't like working with a plus size model, but I think that was just that initial fear because she was trying to be respectful of her body. Because a lot of people, when they open up those portfolios, their instant reaction is like, oh, if they have, you know, the not straight size model. So I'm glad that it ended up not being that, because she was talking about how she needs to just remember why she's here and she designs for the every woman. But then it seemed like she was shaken by the plus size model, but it was more that she was trying to respect her figure, I think. So it is a fine line to walk. You know, since the first 2 weeks, we haven't had a lot of that sort of crybabying about what models they're getting. I do think, however, that if Batani or one of the dumb twins gets a plus size model, that they are going to freak out again. So, and that's why I just can't get behind Batani. I think she's only succeeded because she hasn't had another plus size model personally. So we get to Mood. Nothing stands out too much except Claire has purchased the exact colors of Cinderella's ball gown dress. Just right on and sparkly. So I feel like that's just a disaster waiting to happen. Then we get to the workroom, and because the designers have 2 days, like some people, it's just too much time. Like, I think it's like the grass is always greener sort of thing, that you want more time, and then when you don't have as much time, you have to really turn it out. So for people like the twins that have, and I'm doing an armchair diagnosis here, imposter syndrome and extreme anxiety, they cannot handle this extra time because they have such self-doubt from the center of their core that so much time makes them overthink and then doubt and then spiral into this, you know, reinforcing cycle of, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I doubt myself. I'm not sure if I can do it. And it is exhausting. I know we've talked about this before, and whenever I see them on screen and the way they speak and the way they kind of hold themselves, I do think imposter syndrome. And I think of this book that I read a couple years ago about the educational system in America called Excellent Sheep, to where we are just manufacturing really good parrots. So there's not true learning going on. They just parrot back in the hope of being perfect. And I really, really think that Sean and Claire have shades to, you know, full-on coloring of this syndrome. Again, I don't know them, and I only took 2 psychology classes in college, but I feel really confident in that diagnosis. The most adorable thing that comes out of the workroom is that Brandon and Kentaro are like buddies, but they call each other brother, and you can tell that it just like melts Brandon's heart because Kentaro takes it so seriously, but it's this like very precious, pure friendship. And we've touched on this before in past episodes, but that is what is so refreshing about this season. There's not a lot of cattiness. And to be honest, the cattiness in the, you know, talking head interviews about everyone's look mostly comes from the twins. You know, you do get Amy, but she's not doing it in a way that's like, that's just a dumpster fire. She's like, well, it's not going to work because of this. Like, hers is a true critique because she knows so much about constructing clothes and designing. Whereas the twins are like, oh, Brandon has side boob. That's trashy. They don't have a true critique. They're just jealous of what other designers are turning out. So it's really just a sweet moment between Brandon and Kentaro. And Kentaro just trusts Brandon's opinion just so much on what he's doing. Day one seems to fly by. They really don't spend a lot of time on it. So day two is when we really get all of the action. Tim Gunn comes in, goes through their critiques. For some people, again, with 12 designers, we're diving deep on some and we're just getting a very quick quip on others. Tim is really impressed with Brandon. He feels like he's consistently full of the unexpected. And what he's doing, I was worried. I'm like, well, this is an evening-wear challenge. He has to really turn it up. And then he's inspired by streetwear. But it seems as though it's just that. Streetwear inspiration, but still kind of elegant and elevated. And that's the difference, with Brandon. He's so thoughtful. Tim goes to Claire next, and Claire is wearing this like oversized mom visor. It's very distracting. And he says it's too shiny and it's very costume. I mean, it is reading just Cinderella replica, essentially. Tim's concerned that Michael's neckline may be a little too matronly. He needs to open it up more because he does have a lace fabric, so he's just kind of keeping an eye on how it's turning out. Tim talks with Amy. Amy really is able to edit on her own. Tim just has to tell her to keep talking and keep getting there, and she got to the place where she was inspired by birds, and she had this bird print fabric, and she's like, now I think it's just superfluous. It doesn't need it. And Tim's like, exactly. So it was kind of cool to see her thought process with that. Ayana's got this crazy color palette, and Tim tells her it's just too choppy and to really think about, what she's doing. Sean tells Tim that the design that she's doing really feels like her finally. And, Tim says, good work. That's great. I'm glad, you're doing what you actually want to do. Aaron's look is too gimmicky. Kenya's look is just beautiful. Kintaro is struggling. He has a lot going on. He's trying to add in all these colors and all these details. And Tim kind of reminds him that he's a minimalist. He just needs to kind of think about what he's doing and rein it in. Margarita needs to not doubt herself and that she's going in a beautiful direction for her model's body, which really does help because Margarita, especially early on in the episode, seemed to be really struggling, but after her critique kind of turned it around. Samantha is really struggling. Tim says that her overall look comes off like a craft project, and she has a nice backstory about how fairy tales were her escape, so she really wanted to do well on this challenge. But Tim really wants her to evolve this to a higher place because she's making her own pattern, but it does seem very crafty. It does seem very Halloween-ish a little. So after the critiques, some people are really having to rethink where they're going. Other people are in a good place. They have a full body shot of Aaron, and I think he's wearing the shorts that he made for the pajama challenge last week. They definitely look very similar. One thing that has gotten me from the beginning, as we go into the model fittings, we're seeing a lot of model input and opinions given to the designers. And that has gotten me from the beginning of this season. I just don't understand it. And here's a little foreshadowing. So next week, the models are the clients. And I feel like that's the time when they can have their input and opinion. Not now. Like, I doubt Zach Posen is going into a model fitting for New York Fashion Week and is like, Kendall Jenner, tell me what you think about the fit of this. He probably doesn't care. He probably could really care less if she likes what she's wearing. And there is a long history of models essentially just being human hangers. And if you're interested in learning more about it, the stuff Mom Never Told You did a whole episode on it. You should check it out. But there's a difference between treating models as humans with dignity and respect and allowing them to change kind of the course of your design. And that's why I just think the model mirror is an unnecessary extra, however many 6 to 7 minutes of every episode. I don't care what, if they like it, if they don't like it, if they're struggling in it. It doesn't add or subtract anything for me from the overall design or the process of that. I think that it's interesting to me that Brandon's models just fawn over him. Apparently everyone has a crush on him, and he is a good designer, but I feel like half of them, if someone else was turning that out, would not really like what it was. So I don't know what I'm trying to say with this. I just don't understand why the focus on this, and I'm curious as to how it will be next week. And then the week after, when they return from being the clients to just the models. And they do switch, you know, every week sort of thing. We still haven't quite figured out how that system is actually working. But the plus size models that we have kind of started to recognize are there every week. So we'll see how, you know, we'll see who is actually a client next week. At the end of day two, Aaron is just starting to cut into his fabric. He is just so indecisive and so unsure of his skills that he was only doing a muslin outline of his whole design. So he didn't even start cutting until a couple hours at the end of the day. On the day of the runway, with 10 minutes left, Aaron is still sewing his pants. So he had a lot of struggles here. So we get down to the runway. Heidi tells us that Michael has immunity as last week's winner, and the guest judges are Dove Cameron and China Ann McLean, the same women that were there in the beginning. The first look down the runway comes from Sean. She's created it's essentially just a leather halter dress with a plum long fabric overlay on the right side. It is well made. But it is just so simple, and it's not very evening wear, and it does fit well, but there's just nothing interesting or new or different about it. And that kind of describes Sean's aesthetic. She's just taking inspiration from things she's already seen, but she's not reinventing it. You know, this could have been any Project Runway season, any challenge, just nothing spectacular about it. Next, we see Kentaro's look. Kentaro has, it's a very interesting design. It is hard to describe. So he has a long dress. It looks like just a spaghetti strap tank top or like a jersey fabric at the top. But then over the right shoulder, he's kind of draped this pale pink fabric. And then going into the bottom, he's got layers of different colors of light pink tulle. It's kind of messy a little bit. The right shoulder layering piece just doesn't lay well in the front. I see what he was going for, but I think he just was so confused about how to use his fabric and use the colors, because now he says he's afraid to use black, and he really wanted to use black because it's emotional. And he was on the good side, so maybe it was better for him that he steered away from that. But I feel like next week you shouldn't be afraid to use some black. I think they were just saying don't use all black all the time. Also, I have to give props to this model's arms. I mean, she has some amazingly sculpted arms. So beautiful. Margarita's dress is next, and this look is spectacular.
That dress looks delish. What things that make you go,
It is so beautiful and so powerful, and she has really created a garment that fits her model well and highlights her body. It's also just elevated. So it is, I think she said it was a velvet. It's sort of like this printed or almost like a backlit velvet, I would say. It's just so beautiful and a black. So it looks like a night sky. It's a little sheer at the bottom. And then she has a double V-neck, so a V-neck in the front and the back. And then around the shoulders, she's put, I think it's feather detailing, but there's just definitely some feathers coming off the shoulder. So the styling of this is really good. The model like just wore it so well. I feel like it's something I could see Jennifer Hudson wearing or Melissa McCarthy, because it really does. I mean, it's made for a woman with cleavage, and she made her look amazing. The next look is Brandon's, and it's really unique. And very hard to describe, which has been his looks a lot this season, but I'll give it my best shot. So from the front, starting from the top down, we have a white button-up shirt sort of fabric that goes over the top, but it stops just right above the chest. and it's long sleeve and kind of these bell sleeves. And then from the white part down, we have a light pink with vertical kind of green stripes, just sort of a t-shirt dress. The sleeves are tied with the same pink fabric. And then he has some detailing down the sleeves as well. On the side, he has side cutouts, so you know we're seeing some side boob. And then on the back, we have more of that white shirt, but then it goes into like a suspender style from the white shirt to then the pink shirt fabric. That was a not great description of it. You should just go online and look for a picture of it. But it really came together. I mean, it really does. Is it as evening wear as some of the others? No, but it doesn't just read streetwear to me either. It's so interesting and so different, and it highlights her body so well, and there's just the right amount of skin showing. It's not, like, from the side, it might be super scandalous, but it's not an aggressive amount of side boob, and it still feels very new, and it's styled really well. He's really good at the overall look. Next, we have Samantha's dress, and it just didn't turn out super well. She was on the evil side, and the problem was she wanted to give it movement since Tim told her it was too craft project. So she has a strapless dress, and she had some problems with the fit at the top, and she tried to create dimension and pattern with just a bunch of different fabrics put together. So she has zippers going down the bodice of the dress and over the boobs. So that is hard to fit. And then she's got just different patterns she was inspired by. It's just a dark shade of green, but probably, I think it's right above the knees. It like cuts off severely and goes into this just black sheer fabric. And that the black fabric of the mermaid silhouette is too high. It just throws off the proportions and it's so harsh. So it's just not a good look. Erin's look is just a hot mess. There is nothing redeeming about it. It's so awful. There's no fit. It's falling off of her. At one point she has to like pull up the top so it doesn't just flop over. He tried to create, I don't know if it was like a jumpsuit. It's like a Pepto-Bismol pink, and it's got a halter top, but one of the straps isn't actually sewn onto the top of the jumpsuit. And there's a lot of weird, looks like streamers, just strips of fabric that are sewn on that are just coming off of it. I mean, it is just awful. And then he didn't have a zipper, so we had to put in this like stark white zipper into the back. There's nothing that's finished about it. I mean, it's just not great. Michael's dress walks the runway next. It is so beautiful. It is this black and gold lace, and the way he has just created it is amazing. It's a long sleeve and he's got a V-neck at the top, but the scalloping of the lace is just well done across that top. And he has a cape, probably goes to about her mid-thigh, but he's got enough of a slit, and then he left the lace sheer on the legs so that he's really showing off her body, really highlighting her figure. He does have some feathers along the edging of the cape, and he created this headpiece, or it sort of looks like a crown with the feathers. Now, I'm not normally a fan of feathers at all, but they're minimal enough and they do add to it. And I could take or leave the headpiece, but it is really gorgeous.
That was incredible. You are overflowing with talent and I admire you.
So next is Amy's look. And I feel like if Curtis were here, he would just be fawning all over this. But I am just ambivalent. There's something about it that doesn't read modern to me. Like something about her designs feel a decade behind. Like she isn't quite caught up. So she has made a long pink, I think it's like a satin, it's like a bubblegum pink dress with just very strappy. It looks like the dress that Gwyneth Paltrow wore to the Oscars the year that she won, I think it was Best Actress for Shakespeare in Love. Like, it could just be a copy of that. I think it was Calvin Klein or Tommy Hilfiger. It looks the exact same. The statement piece is a short sleeve velvet cape. And I think it zips up because it was zipped as she was walking as she first appeared. It's a like a silvery gray velvet. I still don't understand. I still don't get the point of it since it's short sleeve and it has, I mean, it does feel luxurious, I guess, with the velvet. And then it has like all these different colors of velvet in the center. So you really, as it's just standing there, you only see the gray, but as she moves, it sort of billows out so you'd see the different colors. I think that I'm just not on Amy's wavelength, and Curtis probably is. Like, he's loving her stuff, so I just think I'm not getting it. And it's not that it's not beautiful or well made, but it's also not reading, her stuff isn't reading to the judges either, I think. So I'm curious, as more people go, where she's going to shake out at, because she's still, and this is a preview, but she still has not appeared in front of the judges except in that team challenge. The next look is from Patani, and it's very beautiful and elegant. It is, I believe it's a navy blue, sort of almost a, well, it's more like an A-line gown, but she's added volume at the back. From probably the waist to the floor in the back, she has this sheer navy organza. The top of this gown is really the statement part of it. It's long sleeve sheer with sort of, I guess you could call it like feather appliques, and then it ties in a bow at the back. It is really beautiful. It kind of does add too much bulk to the back with the weird organza piece. I think she should have left that off. So there's a lot of details to it, but it's still interesting and not over the top. The fit is really good and the styling is really good. I just don't think there's many, you know, people that would choose to wear it with that organza half cape thing over the butt. Next is Claire's look. And this is just a bad iteration of all of her previous looks. She has, I'm going to start from the bottom going up. She's got like an iridescent sort of blue tulle. And then it's sheer. So she chose to put her in these like essentially just white boxer shorts sort of thing. And then the top is like a silvery blue fabric, and it's literally just like a loose cami tank, and then over the left, it's always the left side, over the left side she's got like a cold shoulder sleeve on it. It's just, the shorts are weird. She should have just added another layer of the tulle, although that would have taken it into prom territory likely. It's just so basic. Like, Claire designs for the basic white girl in Nebraska. That's what she does. And it's not good. It's not elevated. It's not high fashion. And the way that they, you know, run around the workroom with their head cut off, it's amazing she could even turn this out. And she did that top like so many times, and Sean did the top a couple times too. So it's just blah. Next we have Ayana's look, and it's interesting. It's almost like two different looks, really, because on the top, she has this long sleeve white lace with a yellow underlay, and that is gorgeous. I love lace. I love the way that's looking, but right about the hips, it goes into this just tan fabric, and then there's maybe a foot of that, and then it goes into a beige with some netting on it. And then she tried to like applique some, maybe some roses at the bottom. So it's just two different looks. The bottom looks like a peasant skirt back in like the 2000s when those were a big thing. It's just the color blocking is weird on it. And it's like, to me, I thought this is like a, in the Disney movies, when, well, I guess only in Cinderella, when the fairy godmother is transforming her rags into her beautiful ball gown, like Ayana's look is a Disney princess mid-transformation. Like she caught the, you know, going from the rags to this beautiful gown, she was able to create that. The last look to walk the runway is Kenya's, and it is amazing. So she has made separates. So she found this really cool, man, it's like a rich red color, like a scarlet color. And I'm not sure what type of fabric it is, but it's thicker and it has some dimension to it. It's a little shiny, but it's not just a matte fabric, or it's not just plain. It has some kind of, I don't even know what you call it, some design to it, I guess you could say. So she's created this like tuxedo inspired neckline, kind of rough with, I think it's a black satin. And then at the sleeves, she's got three or four layers of that same satin. She's got a peplum top, and then just a very basic, well-tailored pant with a tuxedo stripe. And she does have an open back, you know, showing some skin. It's just like very cool take on evening wear, because it's cool that she didn't do a gown, but I could still see someone like Emma Watson or even Emma Stone, like someone that's willing to take a risk on a red carpet to wear this to, you know, an award show or something like that. It's also well made, so she really did, you know, have a turnaround from last week. So my guess for top and bottom, for top, I have Margarita, Kenya, and Michael. For the bottom, I have Erin, Claire, and Ayana. So not super close this week. Michael, Kenya, Samantha, Brandon, Claire, and Erin were asked to stay behind. So I got 4 out of 6, I guess, so not too bad. So as we get into the judging, Heidi says, well, let's talk about this, and then one or more of you will be out. So I am guessing that Erin's going to be out, because there's nothing redeeming about this. But now I'm hoping that Claire will also be out, since she really didn't design anything. So we chat with the designers. They talk with Brandon first. And so Heidi kind of scares them by saying, it's like a modern straight jacket. But I love it. And so I'm like, why? It's not really like a mock. I mean, I guess I could see the straight jacket sort of aspect of it, but it was just weird that she led with that. Everyone loves the ties and the color palette. They love it's not too literal, which I'm like, I think it was one of the actresses that said that. And I'm like, literal of a princess or of good or evil? I wasn't sure what they were trying to say with that critique. Zach does say that he cannot be a one-trick pony, because we have seen this sort of shirt dress before. So while they love it and they think he's innovative and has a lot of ideas, he really needs to push the boundaries of what he is designing, like the silhouette, not just the colors and the fabric. They talk with Claire next, and Zach says this feels like Cinderella on her day off.
Boom, roasted.
It's not expensive or just enough. And Nina's just offended. Like, she just says, we've seen a version of this so many times on Project Runway, out, you know, at Marie Claire. She says it's just a cliche with the color, with the tulle.
Boom, roasted.
One of the actresses said it reads club. And again, I was like, this is the problem with having just random, young. Again, most of the guest judges we've had are all, like, 21 and under. So that's the issue with kind of getting them. You get these like weird critiques thrown in.
Excuse me, who even are you?
Zach says that he still doesn't know her as a designer. Like, she doesn't have a voice, she doesn't have a vision. She's kind of just putting something out there. And I think that's true. Everyone then raved over Kenya's look. You know, Heidi says all those details work together and it just is an excellent, you know, work of art. Zach says the risky fabric choice really worked well and that she's redeemed herself from last week. Nina thinks it's so smart and so chic, and it really balances out the drama. So she had tried to do too much with the pants. It just would have been over the top. Everyone really hated Samantha's look. They feel like the bottom was so bad. Zach called it ugly, and it was very harsh. The fabric choice was bad to kind of cut the mermaid off where she did. The actresses thought that it felt old and that the pattern was like a couch. And I was like, oof, that's harsh. I didn't agree with that at all. But Nina didn't think it was very fresh or interesting at all. Everyone loved Michael's, though. Heidi said that it channeled Beyonce, which I could see that. There's something, a Beyonce quality about it. They love the fit. They love the fabric. The feathers were a good touch, and she just looked so radiant. Last, they talked with Erin, and everyone just said it was like a mess. There was just nothing else to say about it. Heidi said she'd never seen anything like it, and that was not a good thing. It did look a lot like streamers, so Zach pointed that out, and Nina said it looked like a child put it together, so not good. So my guess for the winner is Kenya, and for out, we'd have Erin. So what they did was they praised everyone all at the same time and then announced Brandon as the winner, which I'm surprised at, really. Like, it was innovative, but man, they fawned so much over Kenya and Michael. And for an evening wear challenge, I think that Kenya or Michael really hit the mark. I'm just not sure that Brandon's was full evening wear. Like, if someone wore that on the same red carpet as Kenya or Michael's look, let's say, I don't think that would go over well. So I am very surprised at Brandon winning. Although it was adorable, he said that he was inspired by his girl and, you know, just thinking about her body and what she likes to show off, and he missed her. And I'm like, oh, that's so sweet. It made me miss Curtis. Then they say, so they let Kenya and Michael go back, tell them they're in. And so we've got Erin, Samantha, and Claire out on the runway. And then Heidi tells Erin that he's out first. So that we've got, now it's between Samantha and Claire. So I'm like, all right, we're going to send Claire home. This is going to be great. Samantha's in, but so is Claire. So close. We are so close to getting rid of her. But she's all, like, she goes, they go to a talking head of her, and she's all pissed off. She doesn't feel like she should have been there in the first place. And she's like, I'm not going to grovel. I'm above that. Like, I don't know if Samantha did and they cut that part out. She's like, I'm not going to tell them thank you for keeping me here and I'll do better next time because I don't think my design was that bad. So there's a real block to taking critiques and learning and getting better here. So bummer, in my opinion. So here's my top five after this week. I'm moving Michael into my top five. I think that he's really turning it out. Maybe he turned a corner with last week's challenge and is kind of finding his voice a little bit. I moved out Patani because there's something that's not successful with her designs. Like, she's kind of middling a little bit. So I think her eye isn't always there, and she either has kind of very highs or she's sort of in the middle. Next, I have Margarita. I think she should have been in the top. It was just such a good look. So I'm hoping that she breaks through, but I am really glad that she was able to, you know, do something that was awesome for her model's body. I have Kentaro at number 3, and I know he struggled a little bit this week, but I think once he sort of rights his ship and gets his feet back under him and feels a little bit more confident, he'll turn it out. I mean, this could have been his challenge with evening wear. And I think he was just so thrown off by being told that things were too black. I'm hoping that hasn't kind of taken him for a loop too much. At number 2, I have Kenya. I really do think she should have won this week. I think that the judges, not that Brandon isn't awesome and very good designer. I mean, how they portrayed him in the first episode, I am still furious about that. I mean, that was all for just editing and drama about him not being able to create women's clothes. But they are so enamored by him, and it's kind of like the comparison maybe a little bit between Aaron and Laurence for last year. Sometimes elegance seems understated when next to something like, you know, cool and modern and different, but, and they're just two sides of the same coin. They both take the effort and the true design and an editing eye to do it all, but maybe there's something that is, quote, like shinier about, you know, the edgy modern sort of thing rather than this like really elevated, elegant, sophisticated look. So I do think that Kenya and Brandon's my number one, are going to continue to sort of battle it out. But let's talk about the previews for next week a little bit. So I think we're going to get to this little cheating thing. So in the previews, they do show that the models are the clients, which I'm skeptical. I really am. It's I don't need to know as much about these models as I do, but we'll see how it goes. But what makes me think this could be the cheating one is we've been building up over the last two episodes of how Claire and Sean are helping each other too much, and they're essentially doing a lot of work for each other. So we get an overview from Kenya about how Sean really can't create anything and Claire is essentially creating her looks for her and sewing them. And then in the closer look, it looks like Tim says he needs to talk to Heidi and the judges about something. And I really hope this is it. And I really hope one of those twins is going. I'm not sure which one annoys me more. Neither of them are that good. They're just so generic. So we'll see. But next week, Curtis will be back again if he hasn't just decided to run away to New Orleans, and we'll just see how it goes. So thanks for tuning in. That's all I've got for you. Auf Wiedersehen.